But I love revival. I think if revival's coming, it'll come through God's man and the local church. I don't think there's any other way it's going to happen. And so we need to be faithful to the local church, because this is what Jesus shed his blood for. And so thank the Lord for that. I mentioned something about creation. If you heard about when God created the dog, the monkey, and the cow. On the first day, God created a dog and said, if you'll be sit at the door and bark at people that go by. And he said, I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the dog said, God, that's a long time to be a barking dog. He said, how about if I give you 10 of it back and I keep 10? He said, okay. And he agreed. Second day, he made the monkey. He said, monkey, if you do tricks and make people laugh, I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. He said, that's a long time. What if I do what the dog does and keep 10 and give 10 back? God agreed. On the third day, he created a cow. He said, if you'll be out in the field with the farmer and help him in the sun and provide for his family and give milk and on, he said, I'll give you a lifespan of 60 years. He said, that's a long time to be a cow out in the sun with the farmer. He said, how about if I give you 40 back and keep 20? God agreed. On the fourth day, he created man. He said, if you'll eat, sleep, and play and be merry and enjoy life, he said, I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the man said, that's not very long. How about if I get the 10 from the dog, 10 from the monkey, and 40 from the cow? That'll give me 80 long years. And God agreed. So now, the first 20 years, he eats, sleeps, man does, and plays and enjoys himself. On the next 40 years, he's out in the sun, support his family. Next 10 years, he does monkey tricks to entertain the grandkids. On the last 10 years of his life, he's on the front porch barking at people that go by. I'm getting closer to those events in my life. You say, why do you tell jokes? Well, number one, I'm nervous. Next, I like to see Baptists laugh because you might need it in about 5 minutes when I get to preaching. Haven't you never heard me preach before today and you don't want to? Oh, never mind. All right. Thank you so much. And I like to have fun, and I hope you like to have fun too. Luke 15, would you stand with me, please, if you can? Luke 15. I understand if you can't anymore. I move slow as a turtle, but I do stick my neck out every once in a while. I have accomplished something in my life. I can now walk faster than I can run. And that's the truth. I promise you that. That's not an exaggeration at all. Luke 15, I want you to see four verses and something in each one of them that relate to each other. Look, please, in verse number 6. The Bible said, when they cometh home, he called to his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was, what's that next word? Lost. Jump down to verse number 9. And when she had found it, she called her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace, which I had what? Lost, all right? So you know we're talking about the word lost. Look down to verse 24, all the way to verse 24. The Bible said, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was what? Lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Down to verse 32. The Bible said, it was meet that I should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was what? Lost and is found. I want to preach the gospel. I like to do that every Sunday morning. I like to preach the gospel. And I want to use that one word, lost, L-O-S-T, lost. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this wonderful assembly, beautiful church, great congregation. And I pray you bless the pastors. He leads us. Thank you, Lord, for revival. Lord, we need it today. In each of our lives, we need it. And I pray, Lord, you'd spawn something this morning that would stick for a while. And encourage our hearts and motivate us to do better for thee. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This is a chapter that I have entitled the Seeking and Finding chapter, the Lost and Found chapter. Four times God mentioned the word lost in four different parables. This is a chapter of parables. Now, God didn't lose his mind or lose his memory when he kept repeating loss, and truth is, he wants us to be reminded about the word lost. There are people today all around us, they're still lost. Right. They were lost in his day, they're lost in our day. And we have to be made aware that even in revival, we need to care for lost people. Need to have the mind on the lost. In this chapter, you'll find out, my friend, that God had brought those lost back to himself. He found the lost and brought them back to himself. There are a lot of people today, you know them, I know them, and they've left, they've gone astray, they've turned back, they become prey and devoured by the world. Some are backslidden, some are unrepentant, some are in the dark and blinded and tied to the world. But there's one great thing about this chapter is the Lord our Christ is not satisfied until every man is found, until every person is found. Now, I'm not talking about the lost by distance. I'm talking about being lost by being alienated in the heart. There are a lot of people who have no room for Christ. They have no time for the Lord. Aren't you glad you're saved and you had time to trust Christ and accept him into your heart? In this chapter, I've also found out, I come to the conclusion that sin is temporary madness. So why do you say that? Well, because the Bible said this prodigal came to himself. He came to himself. So sometimes when you're steep in sin, you're beside yourself in sin, and you're in temporary some type of limbo, and you're not thinking about God at all. But this chapter brings us back to reality. Luke 15 talks about the pearl. They call it the pearl of parables. And it deals with a lost sheep. It deals with a lost coin. It deals with the prodigal that was lost and the elder son that was lost. So quickly, let's get right into those as 4 points of the message this morning. Number one, are you with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. I want you to notice the lost sheep that was mentioned as we read it a while ago, the lost sheep. I put down here that the lost sheep was lost naturally. Can I tell every one of us, my friend, we wasn't born saved. We were naturally a sinner, depraved, lost, and on our way to hell without Christ. Had it not been for his redemptive story, had it not been for his salvation, we wouldn't have a chance to go to heaven. And here it is, my friend. Here's the story of a shepherd. And how he lost his sheep, had 99. This is 1 in 100. 1 in 100 because he left the 99 and he went for 1. I believe if you were the only one, or if I were the only one lost in this world after Christ went to Calvary, he'd still come looking for us, seeking us. The 99 he'd left and went after the one, going after the lost. It pictures how Christ left his home on high and how that each of us are searching for something, but we're doing it in a lost condition, and Christ comes looking for us. And he pursues after the lost, and he finds the lost. He delivers this sheep back to safety. He delivers him back to where he belongs, and he brings that lost sheep to safety back home. And then he got his friends together, and they begin to rejoice. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that what? Repenteth. Did you notice he went from the animal to the humanity of being lost? And the only way that a man can be saved is to repent. That's right. Repent. You got to know you're saved from something to something. You're saved from being lost to being found. You're saved from being a sinner to being a saved sinner. There are only two types of sinners in the Bible. There's a sinner lost and bound for hell, and a sinner saved by grace. Thank God he took me by grace. Amen. And here he is, right here, had a lost sheep that was found. Well, there's a second lost situation. It's found there in verses 1 through 10, and it's talked about the lost coin. The lost coin. The lost sheep was lost naturally. The lost coin I put down here was lost providentially. The key word for providential is provide. Can I tell you, my friend, God will always provide a way if you want God to help. If you need God, God's always there for you when you need him. He'll provide a way. And there's a wonderful ingredient found in verse number 8. I call it an ingredient for revival. Look, please, in verse number 8, the Bible said, at the last part of the verse, light a candle. Underscore those three words, light a candle. Then he said, sweep the house. Then he said, seek diligently. Here's a lady that lost a coin. Very precious to her. She went looking for it. But the only way she found it was she lit the light. We need to be lights in the world. This old dark world. And the Bible said he's our light. Amen. We need to shine as he does. And we're lights of the world. And then he said there to sweep the house. It'd be good if you want to find something to sweep the house. Amen. Maybe clean the closet out. You might find it in your closet. Who knows what's in that closet after all the years. And then he said there, seek diligently. That's a good ingredient for revival. Light a candle. Sweep the house. Seek diligently. That's what the Lord wants us to do in our own life. He wants us to make sure that we have His light all the time. And that we keep clean our heart and our life for Christ. And that we keep seeking and keep seeking and keep seeking diligently until the thing that we need is found. This whole world is seeking for everything. They're trying to find happiness in the bottle, trying to find happiness in drugs, trying to find happiness in a good time and all kinds of things. But that man has a void in his chest and no man can fill it but Christ. No man can fill it but Christ. And I'm glad, my friend, that we've had that opportunity to be saved. And the Bible said again, the second time, there's rejoicing in the host of heaven over one sinner that repented. You know the day you got saved, it made news in heaven?
That's right.
It did. God saw fit to stop all of heaven and say, hey, somebody just got saved. And you got a new name written down in glory. Amen. Amen. Heaven was happy the day you got saved. And can I tell you, God's still happy every time somebody else gets saved. Every time somebody else gets saved, somebody's happy. I sat at the table last week with a man who came to the service for the first time, and he's headed for prison. His wife is headed for prison. They're going to have a trial in April. They're drug addicts. They have two children. And they have, their wife's trying to get off of these drugs medically. So they had a lockbox. Doctor, you might know more about this than me, but they had a lockbox for her. She could only take this drug from being locked away. But the child got a hold of an unlocked box. The child died. They're being tried for negligent homicide. When we met this man, he was a wreck. It was his wife that did it, but he's being charged as well because he's parental authority. You know what he needed? He needed the Lord. We told him about Christ, and he wonderfully accepted Christ as his Savior. But, you know, we don't need to wait till we're already in trouble. You can trust Christ anytime. Amen. You can trust any God anytime. That man never missed a service. He was there all the way through. And thank God now he's got a pastor that can help him pray through these troubles and help him with this situation. But everybody needs to be found. Everybody needs to be, have God meet them just where they are in the situation they're in. God can do that. I was at a tent revival 3 weeks ago with our revival team. We had about 20 of us together in Huntington, West Virginia. And a man stood up and he said, tonight God has changed my life. Amen. And he gave the testimony how that when he was a little boy, his parents gave him away. His daddy took him, first of all, took him over to, in Huntington, they got these big locks where you let the ships go through. And he took that little boy of his and he threw him over into the water, to that raging water below. Somebody was sitting in a restaurant above the lock, got out of the restaurant and ran and jumped into the water and saved that little boy. This is a true story. Saved that little boy. They whisked him into all kind of homes because now the parents were in trouble. And he went from one home to another home. And he ended up in a foster home where the parents and the family didn't let him eat with the rest of the family. And his brother was with him. But he had to go down to the basement when they were eating their meal. And they got leftovers if there was any at all. It's a true story. And there were sacks of dog food down in the basement. And he said, that's what we would use for food sometimes. He said, one day my brother did something that made the man of the house mad. And there was some fishing poles in the basement, and he grabbed all those fishing poles that had lures on them, and he beat my brother, and he beat my brother. He said, at that moment, I was just a young teenage boy, and he said, I had enough. I went upstairs, and I stole the weapon from the furniture of the family. I took the key of the car and stole it too, and I stole that car, didn't even know how to drive. And I went down in the city streets of Huntington trying to find a dead-end road. He said, I got to that dead-end road, and he said, I put that gun barrel to my mouth. And I was just about to end my life, and about that time, somebody knocked on my door, or my window door. And he said it was a preacher of the church where we were holding the revival 3 weeks ago. That man's name is David Sneed. He heard the meeting that night. He got saved before the meeting. But he went back into the world and he started having struggles. He got married out of that church to a wonderful lady. Had 3 children. Said his wife hasn't talked to him in 10 years. Said his children won't talk to him. He said, I'm a miserable wretch. But he said, tonight, God has found me again. And I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. There wasn't a dry eye in the tent because they knew and been praying for old David Snead. Can I tell you this morning, God can find you just where you are. God can help you in the situation you're in. It doesn't matter how hard it is, God can help you. The third point is the lost son. The lost son was lost willingly, willfully. You know, sometimes we get in our own trouble and get in our own mess and we can't get out of it. He was a prodigal son. Now, you're not going to find the word prodigal anywhere in the Bible, but it means wasteful. And here was a wasteful son who wanted his inheritance early, broke his father's heart. I call him the bad, sad, clad, glad boy. That's what he was. Clad because when he came home, he got a robe, a ring, shoes, and a party. He was in a pig pen, but he came home to the father's kiss. Amen. And he was accepted back into the beloved. He was wasteful. He was the younger of the older brother and the younger son. Would you find me anywhere in your Bible where the older brother forgave his father for forgiving that young son? Would you find me anywhere in your Bible where the older brother forgave his younger brother? It didn't make it right, just made him mad. Now there's something strange what we've seen here in the first 3 points. There was a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost prodigal son. But the Bible said they were all 3 found. Stay with me now. The elder brother, it doesn't mention that he was ever found. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means he never got saved. I do know God will save anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place. But here was one that was faithful to his father, and he never got a fatted calf, he said. He was one that was faithful to his father, and why shouldn't he get the inheritance instead of his brother that went out and wasted his inheritance on riotous living? Which leads me to my 4th and final point. It's not about the elder brother. It's about the word lost. What does it mean to be lost? What does it mean biblically to be lost? To be lost means you lose love. In hell, there won't be 1 second of love. In hell, there won't be 1 ounce of love. Not 1 semblance of love. It's all left behind. As you leave this world and banish forever from the presence of God, you'll also be banished from His love. His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Romans 5:8, the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, the Bible said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And gave His Son to be a propitiation or atonement or an appeasement for our sin. What do you lose when you die lost? You lose love. Won't be any friends in hell. Won't be an ounce of love in the hell. What do you lose when you die lost? Number 2, you lose your opportunity. You lose your opportunity. Opportunity to ever be saved. Revelation 27:1, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. Proverbs 29:1, the Bible said, he that it being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to this powerful verse in Job 36:18. Because there is wrath, how many believe there's a wrath of God? Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke or his stroke. Then great ransom cannot deliver thee. 1 stroke. God has the power to give life, and He has the power to take it away. Right. 1 stroke. 1 stroke. Revelation 22:11, the Bible said, let He that is just, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. The Bible said, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. You say, what does that verse mean? It means there's coming a day where there'll be no more grace. The end of the day of grace will come. And the Bible said, if you're not saved on this side of the last breath, on this side of the grave, on this side of eternity, on this side of the rapture maybe, there's no chance to be saved on the other side. No chance. What do you lose when you die lost? You lose love. You lose opportunity. Number three, you lose your soul. You lose your soul. Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible says, and by the way, this is the most precious possession that we have. Your soul, it's eternal. The Bible said in Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You look up the words living soul, it means eternal soul. Never dying soul. Cannot die soul. Impossible to die soul. You were born as a spirit, soul, and body. But one of these days when you take your last breath, that spirit and that body is going to leave and go to its eternal state. Your soul will also go to an eternal state, but it will either be heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Psalm 42:1, the Bible said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 63:1-5, the Bible said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Here's an interesting verse, two verses, Mark 8:36-37, the Bible said, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man gain? The Bible said, what shall a man exchange for his soul? Your soul's eternal. Your soul is eternal. God made it to where it'll never die. Never die. What does a man lose when he dies? He loses love. He loses opportunity. He loses his soul. And the Bible said he loses his treasure. He loses his treasure. You know heaven's full of treasure. I'm glad I get to go see that treasure someday. The Bible said in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up treasure, or yourselves treasure, upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through to steal your treasure. There's a lot of treasure in heaven. In Revelation 21:1-4, the Bible said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I'll dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and he shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are wiped away. You know, I heard as a little boy at 7 years old, our pastor, Pastor Gann, preached on hell. Thank God for preachers who still preach on hell. But then he said you could be saved and go to heaven. That's a pretty good promotion for me. Hey, man, I took heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I got saved on Silver Dollar Sunday. I know a lot of people don't believe in promotions, but God promoted heaven, and I took it. Amen. That's a pretty good promotion. But my pastor, Gann, said, if you'll get somebody in your mother and dad's car and use it for a missionary car, I'll give you a silver dollar. Now, silver dollars cost a lot more today than it did back those days. I'll give you a silver dollar. I'll give all the neighbors that you bring a silver dollar. Just let's have a big day on Silver Dollar Sunday. I couldn't wait to get my silver dollar. But then the preacher preached on hell. I didn't get saved that morning. I went home. And in between the morning and evening service, my parents put all the children, we had a family of five children, put us all to rest for a nap. And I want to be up pulling my sister's pigtails or something. I didn't want to be in bed. I want to be up playing. Mother heard me whimpering, heard me crying in the bedroom. She walked to my bedside and she said, "What's wrong?" And I told her why. I thought she'd take up for her poor young son. I was only 7 years of age. You believe God could save a seven-year-old boy? God tells us to come as a child. And she told me, she said, "Well, what did the preacher say that made you so upset?" I said, "Mommy, he said, if you die lost, you'll die and go to hell. Is that true?" She said, "Yes, it is." Daddy always told me, he said, "Son, if you ever want to get saved," told all the children this, "if you ever want to get saved, just take my coattail and yank it like that. I'll know what you mean, and we'll walk down the aisle to get saved." But he said, "You must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize that Jesus died to save sinners. You must realize that if you come to Christ, he'll save you, and all you need to do is yield to the throne of grace, and he'll save you." We memorized that as young children. So when the invitation came on Sunday night, I couldn't wait to get saved. I was lost for the first time, and I knew it. Lost. And it was the longest, boringest service I've ever been in my life. I said, "If that Pastor Gann will sit down and shut up, I'll get saved." Reminds me of a little boy that's in the service. He asked my mom, "What do the flags represent?" She said, "Well, one represents our nation. The other represents those of the Christian flag, and the other represents those who died in the service." He said, "Well, which service was it, the morning service or the evening service?" I felt about that way. I said, hurry up, I want to get saved. And the invitation came, I yanked my daddy's coattail. I walked down the aisle, an old-fashioned aisle, to an old-fashioned altar. My old-fashioned preacher took an old-fashioned Bible, and he led me to Christ the old-fashioned way. I didn't get baptized that service because they had vacation Bible school stuff in the baptistry. So I went to school the next morning. I was in public school in the first grade. And my first grade teacher, her name was Mrs. Mills. She was in her 80s. I don't know how she found out that I got saved, but she stood me up. She goes, "This is little Randy. He just got saved yesterday." And I looked up. I wondered, how did she know that? And then she looked at the crowd and she goes, "Hey, Randy, you going to get baptized?" Man, I swallowed deep. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I want to get baptized." And thank God I got baptized the next week. Didn't have to go to heaven dry cleaned. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got saved and baptized. Now, baptism won't save you, but it proves that you have been saved. It's a first step of obedience. We don't get saved by the water. Water fellowship, water jaw divine, leaning on the everlasting tub. Amen. We get saved by the blood. Amen. Close your Bibles and look this way. Talking about lost. If I named the name Bob Jones Sr., how many would know who I'm talking about? Amen. I have a goal in my life. It's to not let us forget the old preachers of the past. Bob Jones Sr. tells the story of the Civil War. When an outbreak of the measles became an epidemic to the soldiers of the Civil War, and they put up tents to separate and quarantine the soldiers that were sick. One boy was at his bedside, at his bunk, and he began to holler out in his sickness, "Master Ward, Master Ward, Master Ward, I'm dying, Master Ward." He came to his bedside. He said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, I don't think I'll ever leave this tent. I'm dying." He said, "Can you get me a chaplain?" "What on earth for?" He said, "Well," he said, "I never went to church like I hear people say they've gone to church. My whole family of brothers and sisters, my mom and dad, we never went to church. But I've heard about this heaven. I've heard about this word saved. I've heard about Jesus dying to save sinners. And if there's a chance for me to miss hell, I want some preacher to tell me how I can go to heaven." True story. The Master Ward looked at it. He was an agnostic, meaning God to him was unknown or unknowable. And he left the tent and he patted the young soldier and he said, "It'll be just fine. Don't you worry." After a few hours, he was dying. He was near death, and with all the strength that he had, "Master Ward, Master Ward." "Yes, son, what do you want?" "Did you get that chaplain? I don't want to die lost. I want to go to heaven. I want to be born again. Can somebody tell me how to be born again? The master ward knew this time he was dying. He ran out the tent as fast as he could. He got just a few steps away from that quarantine tent and he turned around and came back. He said, there's no time for the chaplain now. He got on his knees beside the bed of that young boy, soldier boy. He said, let me tell you what my mama used to tell me. Let's try it out. Mama said, if you ever want to be saved, the master ward said, just quote John 3:16. So he said, hey, soldier boy, let's try it. Repeat after me, for God so loved the world. Say it, soldier, for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. Say it, soldier, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him, say it. Say it, soldier, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Say it, soldier, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Say it, soldier, but have everlasting life. And that young soldier in his dying breath looked up to the master ward and he said, I have eternal life. It works. It works. And he died. On his knees, the master ward had tears fall to the ground. Remembering what his mother said and what he just experienced, he bowed his head and he trusted Christ and got saved as well. Right beside the dead soldier. Can I tell you this morning, it still works.
Amen. Amen.
The gospel is still powerful to save.
Right.
Jesus is still faithful to be a savior. Now you may be saved this morning, but you may be like the elder brother. I don't know what our troubles are this morning, but salvation cures most all of it. And then if you're saved and you're away from the Lord, the Father's waiting. The Father's waiting. All you got to do is come back home and do what the will of the Father is. Well, that's my cornbread and beans this morning. Let's stand, please.